Good morning. My name is Debbie Romer, and surprise, I'm your liturgist today. I'm not going to be nearly as entertaining as Sarah, but you're going to get the idea. There's Jesus, there's a parade, and there's a donkey. Today we're reading from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The people who gathered for the parade would have been familiar with the Hebrew text from their tradition, Zechariah's prophecy that included this hopeful image. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Zion. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephron and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
My cousin dragged me along. I wasn't really sure what was going on, but he said I wouldn't want to miss this parade. Yeah, I heard a thing or two about this Jesus guy from Galilee. Heard some people talking who had just come to Jerusalem from Capernaum, where the rabbi had been teaching. They're talking about people who were coming from all over to wherever he's hanging out, just to hear him. Some people try to get up and close and personal with him, because word on the street, he has healed some people, and maybe even brought some back to life. All I know is that stories are obviously spreading, and there's a turnout today of Roman soldiers to check it out. So authorities must be getting nervous about him. My cousin seems to think that this could be it, our ticket out of this Roman occupation. And he's hoping to see a lot of people marching alongside, and hopefully there will be a display of power from Jesus that will get the people to rally. We get here early to get a good spot. Decided not to be down on the road, but instead stay up here on this roof so we can get a better look. I'm just glad to be up here, because if trouble starts, I'm out of here. A little distance is just fine with me. But don't get me wrong, I think things need to change, and a lot of us are tired of paying taxes to Caesar, who controls everything through his lackey Pilate. But I'm afraid that things will get stirred up and life will get worse, not better. I'm afraid of being here. What if I become known as a protester and a rebel rouser? I've seen what they do to their political rivals, to those who dare to question the power, that their divine right over all things, all people, all matters of life and death. And then I see Jesus coming. But he isn't galloping on a horse girded with a sword. He's riding on a donkey.
This is a new little song to introduce the sermons over this series. So I'm going to introduce it to you all, and feel free to join in today or next week or the week after, whenever you start to feel comfortable with it, right? Okay.
Enter. Come enter the story. Enter the place you belong, not just looking on. For this is your story. Enter the story. Enter. Enter the passion. Enter the place we belong, not just looking on, for this is our passion. Enter the passion, enter the story, enter the passion, enter the passion.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our hope. Amen. Okay, so let's set the scene. We're on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and Jews from all over the world, from Athens, from Egypt, from Babylon, from Rome, from Damascus, and of course from Galilee, all of them are coming. Thousands and thousands of people filling this city to celebrate the Passover, what they call the Feast of Freedom. It's the time to remember and to celebrate the end of slavery and the exodus from Egypt, to celebrate a God who breaks chains, a God who brings people out of bondage and into freedom, a God who saves. And Jerusalem is holy, but Jerusalem is also occupied by the Roman Empire, who take it upon themselves to make sure that these people joyfully celebrating the God of liberation also remember that the emperor is in fact in charge here. So into this mixture of like tension and hope, Jesus enters. And we've heard the story probably a million times before. He comes riding on a donkey while people spread out their cloaks and wave their palms on the ground, wave their palms and shout and sing and clap. And as Sarah said, eagle-eyed churchgoers, as all of you are, we'll notice that today is not, in fact, Palm Sunday. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. But in the church, we move so quickly, so often, from Palm Sunday to Easter without really stopping. We kind of fast forward through the important events that happen between the palms and the empty tomb. And this week is like the week. It's the last week of Jesus' life, and it's a week full of drama and dinners. It's a week with difficult words and comforting words and challenging words. It's a week of turning over tables and washing feet. It's a week for midnight prayers in the garden and new commandments to love. It's a full week where the choices become sharper and the risks become clearer. So instead of rushing from palms to resurrection, this Lent we're going to take the story one day at a time. We're going to freeze the story each week and look closely at one moment from the final week, every week during this season. And we're going to ask ourselves, how does this show us about Jesus? And what does it show us about this life that he has called us into? So the week starts with a parade. Or perhaps more accurately, the week starts with the parade preparation. Because Matthew gives us this kind of long, drawn-out explanation of how Jesus summons a couple of his followers and asks them to go ahead of him where they will find this donkey tied up with her colt. And Jesus says, you're to untie them and bring them to me. And if anybody asks you, just say the Lord needs them and they'll give them to you immediately. This is an objectively strange ask. It would be like if I said to you next week, I need you to do me a favor right before church. Could you go to Denver? There you're going to find a Lexus. parked right next to a sports car, and I need you to bring both of those cars to me. And if anybody asks you, just say, oh, my pastor needs these cars. And everything's going to be fine. It's a weird conversation. But Matthew is trying to help us understand that this parade that Jesus participates in this day, it's not like haphazard or spontaneous. This is planned, and it's intentional. Today, Debbie read for us from the prophet Zechariah, and those verses are repeated here in Matthew's telling of the parade story. Matthew wants us to know that the obtaining of the donkey was to fulfill Zechariah's words about your king coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey. The words here are so important. The word that our English translations kind of say is humble, it doesn't really mean like meek or gentle. In Hebrew, it means something like poor or afflicted. And the Greek term that the English versions usually translate as meek, it refers to somebody who's in authority but who doesn't lord that authority over others. The followers of Jesus who first heard this story, they would know Psalm 37, which says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." This is the psalm that Jesus is alluding to in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Inheriting the earth for the psalmist and for Matthew, it requires humility. It requires being able to listen to others, to share resources, to prioritize community rather than authority, to serve rather than to be served. And Zechariah talks also about a king who is victorious. And again, the Hebrew has a different nuance than the one maybe we're thinking about, because the word victorious in Hebrew literally means saved. It means delivered by God. We find the same word in Psalm 33, which says, "A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength." Basically, Zechariah and then Matthew are giving us a picture of a king who is powerful but does not lord it over others. A king who takes his place with those who are suffering. A king who is righteous rather than violent. A king who is strong in faith, not armed to the teeth. Which is a lot of meaning for one little donkey. But that's the kind of king that Jesus is announcing himself to be. This parade is not just like for fun. This parade is political and it's risky. Because there wasn't just one parade coming into Jerusalem that day. There were two. From the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, was coming into Jerusalem in a much, much different kind of procession. He had war horses and battalions of soldiers and gleaming armor and weapons and banners. It was a huge display of imperial power. It was a reminder that the emperor is in charge. And it was a statement about the inevitability of the emperor's power. It was sort of resistance is futile sort of vibes. But then from the east, from the opposite side of the city, comes this guy riding on a donkey. Cloaks instead of armor. Palms instead of swords. Two parades. Two claims about power. Two very different kingdoms. As Jesus comes into the city, the crowd is shouting this one word over and over and over again, Hosanna. And maybe it's because for most of us, our experience of Palm Sunday was like Sunday school or church and waving palms and singing songs and shouting Hosanna. And it's so fun. We kind of get the idea that Hosanna sort of means like, yay, Jesus. We're so excited, Jesus. But actually, the word Hosanna means save. Save, please. It's not a cheer. It's a prayer. These are people who are living under oppression. They're paying crushing taxes. They're watching their land and their livelihoods and their freedom slip further and further out of control. They're dealing with illness without medicine. They're dealing with hunger without safety nets. They're dealing with violence and uncertainty and fear about the future. And they are crying out, save, please. Save us from systems that keep us struggling. Save us from powers that keep us small. Save us from the weight of a world that feels stacked against us. And yes, they're saying save us from sin, but in the scripture, sin is never just about our souls. And salvation is never just about our souls. It's about our bodies. It's about our communities. It's about our daily life. It's about everything that keeps us from living the life that God intends. Save, please. And Jesus isn't subtle. This is a public, visible act that said, despite appearances and despite what they want you to think, Caesar is not inevitable. We can do this another way. There is another kingdom, and it does not belong to Caesar. And Jesus was not naive. He understood what that would cost him. That parade into Jerusalem with all the hype and all the hope, make no mistake, it leads directly to the cross. Jesus knew it. But what he also knew was that this message of his was so urgent, was so deeply important. He understood that God's will was for him to declare the coming of this kingdom about peace and justice and freedom, a kingdom where the lives of those people who are waving those palms, they matter. A kingdom so utterly and completely unlike the violence and the oppression that Jesus challenged on that day. He knew that exposing the violence and the greed and the emptiness at the heart of that empire would make the outcome for him inevitable. He knew, and he mounted that donkey, and he set off on that road. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And to take up the cross for him and for them, it meant risking everything. Everything. It meant being willing to accept hardship and loss and humiliation, imprisonment, death, in order to proclaim the vision of a better world, and then to work for it. Honestly, I might just rather like wave some palms, sing some songs, and go to lunch. That's just me. But the crowd that day, they wanted change. They wanted peace. They wanted justice. They wanted relief. They wanted security. They wanted a better world. So do we. We want compassion instead of cruelty. We want communities that are safe. We want systems that are fair. We want the kingdom that Jesus is announcing. But kingdoms like that don't just build themselves. Leaders, even Jesus, can't do it alone. They depend on people. People who are willing to answer the call. People who are willing to show up, to work, to sacrifice. Which means, beloved, that if this is the kingdom that we're praying for, we have to be willing to build it. We have to be willing to choose compassion over comfort, loving truth over silence. We have to be willing to show up for one another, to care for the vulnerable, to share what we have, to work for justice, even when justice is slow and even when the work of justice goes unrecognized. We have to be willing to join Jesus in this courageous calling of building the kingdom that God is offering to us. Following Jesus has never been about just cheering from the sidelines. It's about walking the road with him. And we know that that road sometimes moves through conflict. It moves through sacrifice. It moves through loss. Through the slow work of love in a world that often resists it. And I want to acknowledge that all of that is a lot. Like, it's a big ask. The road that Jesus took cost him dearly, and it costs us too. Not always in the same ways, but still, it costs. Which I think is why the church gives us this season. Sometimes when we talk about Lent, we talk about giving something up. But really, Lent is about making space. It's about making space for God to strengthen us, making space for our hearts to grow a little braver, space to become the kind of people who can walk the road with Jesus. Space to let God in so that God can answer that ancient prayer from the first Palm Sunday. Save, please. I actually feel like I've been saying that prayer a lot lately, and maybe it's just because it's like just the end of February and this year has felt like 5,000 years long. But sometimes, some days, I wake up and that prayer is literally the only prayer I can muster. Jesus, save, please. And I know from experience that when I get like that, when I get overwhelmed, when everything starts to feel heavy, my instinct is to withdraw. My instinct is to make my life and myself smaller, to like pull the covers over my head, watch another episode of Housewives, and just forget that the rest of the world exists. But that doesn't really build the kingdom. So this Lent, I've made the commitment to myself and to God that I want to stay open even when things are hard. I want to find strength to keep showing up whatever comes. So for me, for my Lenten practice, this year I've chosen movement, like whatever that is. Take a walk with my dog, go to yoga, go to pound class with Jessica and put a bunch of, you know, just pound out. Because movement connects me with the body that God gave me, and movement connects me with the best of who I am, my brightest, best self. And it makes my mental health stronger and better. And all of those things, they make space in my life for me to show up for God and for others and for the kingdom. So that's my Lenten practice. And I wonder what you need in order to show up for God and for others and for yourself and for the kingdom during this Lent. What do you need in order to do the work of love that you're called to do in this world? What do you need in order to make space in your life for courage? What will help you get there? Maybe it's movement. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's therapy. Maybe it's reading scripture. Maybe it's joining a small group here at the church. Maybe it's setting boundaries. Maybe it's just rest. Whatever it is, in this week, I invite you to pray about the ways that you need help showing up for the kingdom, where you the ways that will make space in your life for courage and for God to show up. There's this Franciscan blessing that I love that I want to offer to us during this season of Lent. I think it's a space opening kind of blessing. An opening to this call that Jesus gives us to make justice and to make peace. And the blessing is this. May God bless us with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger. Anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears. Tears shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with foolishness, enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. Jesus is entering Jerusalem. The road to the cross has begun. Will you walk the road with him? Will you make space for this season to shape you? Will you let God strengthen you for the work of love? Lent is not a season to rush through. So don't hurry from Palm Sunday to Easter. Let the questions stay. Let the tears come. Let the anger be present, and let the foolishness loose. Let the practices matter. Let Lent do its work. May it be so. Amen.